You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the China Shop. We are so super stoked you're here and you made it. I'm shopkeeper Dan, and with me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I had a little bit of a delayed reaction on those hot sauces, so I finally felt it.
I finally felt it. I was feeling it the night of. I think I was having trouble going to sleep. My stomach felt like it was smoldering.
Right. Why did you eat liquid fire? Oh, yeah. If you want to check out that madness of the hot sauce challenge, we've got that all posted online. We recommend the video over the podcast. But anyway, that is an old episode. We're here to talk about today's episode. Come on in the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, rage against the hedge machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing those ever-growing strategies for maximizing gains and cutting losses. If you're new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our knowledge center on financialineptitude.com. Or give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description. But the best place to be is up on our Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day. Really just awesome place to be. And when you do join that server, send us a private message or email with your mailing address so we can send you a smash-it-yourself mug, shot glass straight from the shop.
Mm-hmm.
We're just so glad everybody's here. So glad you made it. It's a lot of fun. Always better with friends. Kyle, we got any fascinating show news to update the folks on?
Fascinating? I don't know if it's that good. Wednesday, we have our episode with Alan Sama coming out. I had a nice chat with him about options. He passively trades options, which is kind of what I was trying to do, or am still trying to do. It's interesting to see that somebody else had the same idea 10 years before I did.
It just means you're on to something.
Yeah, it's just... This is the first person I talked to that's trying to do the same thing, and you would have thought it would have happened sooner. The week after that, we got Deborah Ellis, followed by Matt Reiner, and then your friend, what's his name again?
Caleb.
Caleb, another crypto expert. And beginning of December, Richard Friesen's coming back.
Oh, I fucking love Richard Friesen. That guy's awesome.
I do. I know. We need to do better at getting him regularly on.
Yeah.
I think he's a fan favorite, too, at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, you just want to get me on the couch because you had to do it.
Well,
I haven't.
That's part of it. The other part is that when we first started talking to him and like looking at he gave us access to his program, but then as I was trying to like follow it, I realized that I knew nothing about trading.
Hey, his program assumes you have a strategy and you know what you're doing.
Well, yeah, when I was asking like setups, like, okay, what's a setup? Like, oh, you mean a pullback or a fade or a... okay, I know what some of these terms mean now. Maybe now this material will be helpful.
Now we're in a place where we can really make use of it.
Right? Yes, exactly.
That's going to be exciting. I look forward to that.
Mm-hmm, me too.
But today's show we've got for you today is...
Braggadocious?
Idealistic.
Oh.
Impeccable. Dare I say incredible show. That we got lined up.
It's
lots of market moving news.
So it's better than idiotic.
Better
than imbecilic.
We've got an idiotic, imbecilic, inept show for you today. Oh, lots of market moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than beers at a tailgate.
Beer.
Yeah, I wish I had one right now. And now that I'm saying that out loud.
Yeah, can you carry the show for about 2 minutes while I go prepare some?
Yeah, mail one to me.
All right. Will do.
Oh, yeah. So please reach out to us. We love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook, on the Discord. If you're old school, you can send us an email to the2bulls@financialineptitude.com or give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you've just been going to your favorite lunch spot and these people just start hunting you for no reason when you're just trying to get a good meal. And you have to crush their boat and sink them before they kill you. It doesn't matter. We just love it when you reach out.
I'm not familiar with that one.
I was trying to do Jaws from the shark's perspective.
All right. No.
Just trying to get lunch. You guys fucking hunting me for? I'm just hungry. Didn't do anything wrong.
Did get a message from Jeremy. He was the one who was kind enough to suggest the spicy challenge.
Oh, yeah. Did he do it? Has he tasted the fire inside?
He didn't, but he was laughing and he said he enjoyed our personal stories. So I guess we gave everybody a chance to learn a little bit more about us. Maybe we should do some more of those things.
I do love talking about myself. It's one of my favorite subjects.
Also, Jeremy did say, too, he was up about 50K on Shiba when it spiked. So, take some profit, buddy.
Take some profit.
Take some profit.
Take some profit.
Crushing it on the crypto. No wonder why he wants us to talk about it more. Anyway, thanks for the messages, Jeremy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeremy.
Hope you're getting paid.
Oh, Kyle, I didn't do too well on my bet pick.
Well, maybe you should go first then.
We keep fucking losing to random. I don't know about you, but I've been struggling with this, the bet picks because of the way we set it up in the weekly manner of Monday to Friday. And I keep finding stocks where I'm like, oh, this one's going to pop. And then it doesn't. Right. And then I lose.
Right.
So I thought I'll get clever. I'll outsmart myself. I'll short Nvidia, even though I think Nvidia is about to pop. I'll short them. And they opened the week at $256 and change.
Mm-hmm.
And just marched upward all the way up Thursday. So they opened the week 256, start to move up, get up to 260. Oh, get up to 265. Stop. I get stopped out on, was it like Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Thursday, they rode from 271 up to almost $300. They were over $300 for a bit.
It made a great long.
Yeah, such a great long. And then they ended the week at 297.52.
It would have been such a good long. Oh, you're in your own head.
Yeah. So I think that with that stop loss, I'm what, like $483 some cents?
$483.41.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, starting off with a bang.
I had much better results, but only because I completely forgot about a stop loss. I was so sure that it was going to come back down to 10 OCGN. I was going to short it above 1250 and buy it back when it dropped below 10 and then flipped along. Because of forgetting that stop loss, I was able to ride out the spike to 1765 before it did come back down below 10. I was able to flip long, and it closed the week at 1024. So I ended up taking my 500 up to
61733. Jesus. Okay. Well, yeah. At least I'll be doing a Kyle consequence and not a random consequence this
month. Well, random. No, I'm just kidding. Random went with SPB that opened the week at 94.96, closed at 96.75. So random got a nice solid 1%, 2% gain, sitting at 509.43.
Okay, I'm still within striking distance of random.
Well, if I forget a stop loss again, this could flip really fast. So
that's true. I'm long Peloton. Let's do it.
Ooh. Yeah, we'll get into that one later. I do want to talk about that.
Yeah, we will. All right, let's move on and talk about some news.
Let's do it.
Well, it's all for the money. Tune to the show. Need a good story so my margin grows, or won't you? Listen to all our news. You might learn some things with the China Shop Market News.
Well, we all know the big story was the Fed came out on Thursday with a big announcement.
Yeah. Everyone, that's the biggest kept secret, or not, wait, the worst kept secret, I think is the word. Everyone was expecting the Fed to announce taper, kind of the worst kept secret in the industry right now. They did come out and actually do that. Currently, or previously, the Fed had been buying $120 billion worth of assets, $80 billion in treasuries and $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities each month. So just an incredible amount of liquidity getting pumped into the market.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers came in as expected, reducing that by $10 and $5 billion respectively. And they're going to continue to step down by those increments. They did leave room, however, to adjust the rate of taper based on market conditions. But that's the plan. It's looking like they'll probably wrap up the whole asset purchasing by, I think everyone's expecting mid-June, but it could be as early as quarter one of 22.
Yeah.
What was more interesting, though, was their discussions about inflation, because all this, their views on inflation is going to affect whether or not they start to do rate hikes, and they're still defining inflation as transitory.
Well, the fun thing is, Kyle, if you zoom out, everything's transitory, right?
Yeah, it just depends on what time frame you're looking at.
Look, in the 100-year time frame, this is just transitory inflation. By the year 3000, we'll be done. It'll be done.
What was interesting, though, is that now it seems like he has another thing to blame inflation on. It looked like he was taking the chance to use the supply chain disruptions in order to say that that was causing the price increases right now. And while, yeah, that probably is true.
Certainly not helping.
But I don't know how you can deny that inflation is, you know, going on.
It's happening and it's not going away. When did they first start this transitory inflation talk? Last year?
Yeah, it's been a while, probably since the stimulus started.
Because I seem to recall talking about it last fall and winter.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had already been printing the money for so long. Like when we posted that chart on the Discord showing how much new money got put in the system.
Right.
Like that, it feels like a long time ago.
The article I'm looking at, Greg McBride, said that he doesn't know if the word transitory is going to be used as frequently anymore. So the Fed has acknowledged that this could persist longer at higher levels than originally expected. Keith Buchanan, portfolio manager at Globat Investments, said the more sticky nature of the current inflation pressures presents a challenge Powell needs to address. And you remember Bostic, Atlanta Fed president? He went even further, calling the word transitory a dirty word. Bostic says he expects the supply chain disruptions driving up prices will linger, saying by this definition, then, the forces are not transitory.
Okay, so what's the next buzzword if it's not transitory? Are they going to start calling it controlled inflation? Like, yeah, look, we've got controlled inflation.
Let's see. They said that inflation is front and center as an issue and will be for the next 6 to 12 months easily, but that alone is not going to dictate their action. Economic growth, labor market, and even geopolitical concerns very likely come into play.
I guess it's their job to do things like call it transitory inflation, because if the Fed chairman came out and said, we've got runaway out of control inflation, like everybody's going to freak out.
The job of the Fed, or at least Powell's job, seems to be placating investors. And I think George talked a bit about this on his market update that he did the morning after.
Yeah.
Because the reaction to the announcement of this tapering was the complete opposite of what I think everyone was expecting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we fucking ripped to new all-time highs after they said that they're not going to buy as much shit anymore. What?
Yeah, I was scratching my head. I think we were both in the futures room trading futures, watching it just go up and up and up.
Yeah, I got hit twice on trying to short it, and then I pretty much just called it. I was like, no, I'm not trading this. I don't know what's going on. If I would have flipped my bias and didn't come in there. So that's probably what happened. Everyone was probably trying to short it. And what happens when everyone shorts it? Well, they got to buy it back.
Just enough push upward to eat up all those contracts. Oh yeah, it was wild. This was my first experience of like sitting at my trading desk and a big Fed announcement and sitting there trying to trade it. Not what I expected it would be. I too was like, I don't like an earnings call. You know, like they're gonna give us good news and it's gonna go down anyway.
It just seemed like a lot more controlled chaos. Probably trading that was not a good idea. We probably should have just been watching and trying to do a sim.
That's true. I also lost money that day.
I lost money all week. I did not have a good week. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Yeah, in Friday, the day after, we also hit new all-time highs. So
yeah,
this bull train is running still.
Yeah, the cops did finally show up. They said, "Hey, we're running out of beer. You guys probably should start going home." And everyone's like, "Fuck you! Give me some more."
Fuck you, I got this flask in my pocket. You
can't tell us what to do. I brought my own.
Tell me to go home.
The party continues.
Hey guys, I've been running around drinking the bottoms of everybody's leftover cups. I'm getting hammered.
My parents are going to be home soon. Fuck them.
Fuck your parents. Give them a beer. All right, any other, what's your other big story, Kyle?
Paste and go. This is about marijuana. Cannabis industry is finally getting its own digital payments platform.
Oh.
Valley Bank unveiled plans for Valley Pay earlier this month with aspirations to migrate cannabis businesses' cash usage to a secure web application. So the platform is going to operate as a digital wallet seeking to serve cannabis dispensaries, growers, testing labs, armored car services, wholesalers, and other CBD hemp businesses. As you know, based on the way the federal government has classified marijuana, that most banks are afraid to even touch anything related to the even if it's legal in the state, they don't want to deal with it, and rightly so. So most of these cannabis businesses have to operate like completely in cash, and that's not good.
No.
So while it would probably be much better if we just went ahead and fucking legalized it, if you remember from our conversation with Jennifer Beck over at Jihee,
yeah,
there's definitely an incentive for even the states to keep this as a classified, what's the classification? Class 2? Class 1? Keeping it as illegal on the federal level, because that allows them to tax the ever-living shit out of it, and they get to tax the gross rather than the net profit, so you can't even write off your expenses or losses.
Yeah. Marijuana companies getting crushed by their weird space they inhabit in the commerce system.
Yeah, and then we're getting close to having to start thinking about midterms. I mean, if the Congress is going to push through legalization while they got control of the House and the Senate, they need to do it quick, don't they?
Now's the time, so, I would think.
With as closely as the Senate, I mean, the Senate's split 50-50 right now, right? So I wouldn't be relying on them to maintain that lead going into midterms.
Yeah, I don't. Well, and it's weird because only certain types of bills are passed by a majority vote. Like a lot of them take like a 60 vote,
right,
to happen. A lot of what they do. So I don't know. It feels like a split Congress, even though it's technically not. It does segue into my last little story. Real quick.
Oh, yeah.
We spoke last November on this show about the stock market reacting to politics.
Right.
And I had come across the data that the market loves
Democratic president.
Democrat president and a Republican Congress.
A split Congress.
Right? Yeah, and a split Congress. So we were optimistic about the future of the S&P, and I would like to say that we're doing just fine.
Best 1 year run after an election.
Yeah, the S&P 500 is up 37.5% since the last presidential election.
I wonder how many people vote like that. Like, oh, this is much better for the market. I'd much rather have. Even if you're like,
right, statistically, yeah, this is going to be the best thing for my stock portfolio.
I'm a Republican, but I like money more than I like my ideals.
My office and party power. Yeah. Hey, there's nothing more American than valuing money over your ideals.
No, there's nothing more Republican. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I can say that.
It's a joke, people. Calm down. All right. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on. We've got some all fun right. Stock stuff to talk about.
Longtime listeners know that Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you proudly by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. With over 20 years of experience, Sue has helped thousands of homeowners purchase, refinance, even do reverse mortgages. She's licensed in 27 states, so reach out and see what Sue can do for you. Best way to reach her is just give her a call, 520-977-7904. Or you can send her an email, S-P-U-L-L-E-N, that's S-Pullen, at fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number, 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number, 206048. That email again is S-Pullen at fairwaymc.com. That phone number, 520-977-7904. Reach out to Sue for all your mortgage needs.
And Two Bulls in a China Shop is a proud affiliate of the Trade Pro Academy. Trade Pro Academy is an educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. Traders like you. Traders like me. Translation, you can learn to trade like a big institution. And who doesn't want to know how to do that?
Mm-hmm, right.
If you were learning how to trade like a big institution, you wouldn't be complaining on Reddit about Visa falling after earnings. You'd be scooping up those shares at $208 a share and watching it skyrocket right after the fact. They have got a great staff of highly knowledgeable and successful traders, and there's no better place we found to learn all you need to know to be a successful trader. Find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the episode description. We've also got discount links in our Discord. So if you want to get access to 10% off, then please join our Discord. You'll find the links in the discount links channel.
Yep. I've been pointing people there. I hope they're signing up.
We need more Trade Pro users, so that way we can all bounce ideas off each other. The community, so much better when everybody's learning together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we are a friendly place, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, that was a good catch on Visa when we talked about it.
Yeah, I think you cut it, though.
No, we talked about Visa on the air because we talked about that the Reddit thing, I remember.
Yeah, it was last week, but I just don't remember when. I thought it was cut because I was trying to go back and listen to it because I wanted to brag about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to listen to the whole episode. Anyway. Mm. All right. Should we move on and start talking about some stocks other than Visa?
Tell me about what you were watching this week.
Well, you know, I have my eye on NVIDIA.
Yeah.
And luckily, I did preface this out loud by saying, like, I keep trying to catch these breakouts for the bets, but I keep getting them wrong. I keep calling them right when they're going to pull back.
Right.
So I said, so I'm going to short NVIDIA because I think it's going to break out. Well, it broke out. as we went over, they got upgrades in their price targets. A whole bunch of analysts came out, were gushing about them. They were at all-time highs, and they just pushed. That was really the one on my watch list that moved. Well, I guess I should say moved upward, because Peloton had a hell of an end of the week.
Ooh, boy.
Okay, so, you know, I've been watching Peloton, because they hit since this summer, right? They were hitting all-time highs up at 120
over 170.
At the beginning of the year they hit 170, and then they came down, and I was like, okay, I'm watching this for a pullback, and that's when I started watching in the summer. Mm-hmm. And they could never get higher than like 128, and they've been in a downward run ever since. I started options day trading them when they were up at 115, and it just went all the way down to 80. It found its floor, and it started to kind of make its way back up. Big earnings call. And I did look into this. They had an earnings call on Friday, and basically in that earnings call, they were like, okay, the pandemic's over. Everybody's going back to pandemic's not over. Everybody's going back to the gym. And they had to revise their sales, Kyle.
Oh, no.
Oh, their sales estimates, they had to revise it lower to the tune of $1 billion.
Ooh.
Ooh. They are now predicting $1 billion less in sales.
Yeah, that'll have an effect.
Direct quote from CEO John Foley. From forecasting consumer demands to accurately predicting logistics costs, our teams have never seen a more complex operating environment in which to guide our expected results this year. So, if you recall, they've been plagued by supply chain issues. Like, they haven't been able to get stuff to build their bikes.
I don't think this has done dropping either, looking at the chart. I mean, it's currently at 55, and I could see this going down to at least 50.
Yeah. Thursday, it closed at 85.79. Friday, it gapped down to $57. Oh, that's like a 35% gap. Now, gaps do get filled, so I'm really watching Peloton now.
Yeah, just looking at the volume profile, and I don't know that... I mean, you got some support that should build around 45, and then you've also... You got more support that should start picking up around 32. So I wouldn't be trying to catch this yet. I think you need to watch and see where the buyers finally step back in. They're not stepping in yet.
No, they're not. They are not. And I wholeheartedly agree. Looking at this volume profile, if you go back and take it a year, because that's how far you have to go back to see what was happening at this price level. We're at the bottom of a big volume node before we get back caught into the upper 40s.
Yep.
That's definitely, if I'm drawing a zone, like that's the zone I'm drawing. I want to see it get in there and start accumulating volume. I want to see the big money come back in. And if not, then am I in the 20s. But one of the interesting things, and one of the reasons why I want to have my eye on this with the expectation it turns around, is they are currently in the process of starting their treadmill division. They've just been doing bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Adding a new product with the Peloton style and their presentation, which, you know, by all accounts, people do enjoy. It's different than, you know, it's just a regular exercise thing. You know, you've got a sense of connection and community to the system, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It connects to the internet. You're presumably you can be training with other people. Anyway, long story short,
yes.
they're getting more than one product. They're going to get more than one product, and they've got lots of room to grow in all sorts of home gym equipment. Peloton can make strides because they're the first and big boy in the room doing the Internet of Things version of a home workout equipment.
All right. Another one that got beat up was Zillow.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out what the fuck happened.
Oh, I know what happened.
Well, I'm trying to see if they actually... Because there's some discussion of it on our Discord, and I think what was explained to us was that their home buying bot, they basically just wrote an algorithm and let it go through, like, trying to buy things instantly from people, and just kind of left it unsupervised.
Yep.
I'm trying to see if that actually specifies that in the story that I found on it.
The one I found was a local story from Orlando. I don't know if I shared it on the Discord yet or not. And it specified that, yeah, exactly what you just said. So Orlando, it's Florida, it's seasonal, right?
Mm-hmm.
They like Tucson, they're bigger in the winter than they are in the summer. So like local real estate agents will be like, okay, the winter just ended, like house prices are about to get cheap. This is when you should look to buy, client that I know and I'm talking to in person.
Mm-hmm.
Zillow's algorithm is not that smart. Like, it doesn't take into account
seasonality.
Any kind of seasonality.
So
like the house, the example that they gave in the article, Zillow's AI bought the house above market value because its bot is just assuming consistent, steady growth.
Right.
They put minimal amount of new things into it, and it's just stuck it on the market.
Jesus.
For a profit. So like this house, like other houses in the neighborhood that were going for 350, 400, and then they bought this house for like 450 and listed it for 550, and everybody in the neighborhood is just like scratching their heads like, who the fuck's gonna buy that house?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. So it's just depending on constant price growth.
Yeah. Looking at the Zillow stock, another gap down. looks like it's finding support, though, around 65. So we'll have to keep an eye on that level. If it breaks below that 65, then we're probably looking at 55 as a price target. Again, we want to keep an eye on that one, see when that finds support, because we do have a gap to fill on the upside now. This isn't the end of the world for the company. And there's a shitload of sellers. Anytime you see everybody selling everything like that, you get the seller exhaustion, and you're looking for the turnaround.
Only the holders left is when you want to get in.
So keep an eye on that. For sure. But yeah, I could see this one dropping to 55 still. This probably isn't done.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility, depending on how it continues, it gets down to 40.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, could easily.
But the fact of the matter is, they did catch what was happening, and they are now trying to unwind all of these positions. So even if they take losses, it's money they've already spent. So they'll be pulling by liquidating all these properties. They right. will then have a pile of liquid cash.
Yeah.
So yeah, Zillow's not going away. They're going to pivot to some other, you know, they'll probably focus on their core and pivot to some other new avenue with all this liquidity and cash that they're going to have. So yeah, two big turnaround plays. I'm now looking at huge drops from Peloton and Zillow, and we just want to watch and see where it finds the bottom so it can make a move.
All right.
Like an institution.
There's a couple other stocks on my radar that I'm watching. I'm just going to go through them here real quick. Visa, I do have a small position in that one. Looking to see if we can get that gap filled in that 225 to 232 area. It broke above the 214.50 support that we wanted to see, or resistance. Broke through that on Friday with some solid volume. It looks like this one's got some strength right now. We should see it. We should see it continue up. I think 225 is our first price target. If we can hit that, maybe take a little bit off and see if we can ride it up to 230. Another one that I liked that I was watching, I had this one on my list for a long time, is some of the ascending triangles I was looking at, patterns close to their all-time highs. That's Fortive company, FTV. It did break above that 75 level finally with some good volume, but the volume's starting to taper off now. And then if you look at the doji it just posted on this high, this one looks like it's ripe for a bit of a fall.
Oh yeah.
So I do still like this stock, but I'm watching this to come back into that 76, 75 area and see if it holds support there, and maybe picking up some options to see if I can ride the continuation up.
I'm looking at that daily. This is the second time in 6 days where it's made that Evening Star doji.
Mm-hmm.
Yet all of that green volume after that last doji is going down.
Yeah, this one looks like it's starting to top.
I really like I like that. I like that play. I like that top. I think you're onto something.
Let's see. Target was another one that popped up on my list. Looks like we failed to make a new high. Just dropped below a key support at 255. It's trading at 254.27 right now. We have to watch that and see if that continues. If that continues, and I can see this one running down to 245, maybe even all the way down to the 230s.
Yeah, this was pushing for a new new high,
mm-hmm.
and totally failed. It found new resistance right at that that last, I would say, consolidation period,
right
towards the top. Definitely got lots of room below. I still have some levels drawn from when I was day trading.
Yep, me too.
Target was on my list. Everything Kyle just said, I wholeheartedly agree with.
All right, we're starting to run a little long. Is there anything else that you really want to talk about as far as stocks go?
Well, folks, I got to short me some Tesla.
Oh, really?
No, that's how you go bankrupt. No.
Like, wait, we talked about that last week. We decided that was stupid, and we were right.
I know. I just want to reiterate again, like, no matter what, I don't trade Tesla.
No.
I think it defies technical analysis.
Yeah. It defies all rationality.
Well, and the only reason I brought it up real quick was because Tesla announced, they're like, we never signed any contract with Hertz.
Oh, that's like, right. Yeah, and it still did okay.
We didn't sell 100,000 Teslas to Hertz, and then yeah, it's still doing just fine. $1,222 a share. All right, let's. We got any earnings coming up?
We got a bunch.
My motto's always been, when I'm right, it's right. So I'll wait and watch the charts and the change in price. When the movement's mostly finished at the end of the day, and we know the coming earnings gonna move it my way. Skyrockets in sight, earnings call delight.
On the 8th, we've got AMC, which coincidentally, too, just announced it's getting into the popcorn industry.
Ooh.
I don't know how Orville Redenbacher is going to take that, but be interesting to see. we've also got Roblox, Trade Desk, and PayPal. On the 8th, on the 9th, we've got Palantir, Neo, Coinbase, Ocugen, and Unity. On the 10th, we've got SoFi, Disney, Wendy's, and Beyond Meat. I threw Wendy's in there because of the Wen Lambo thing. on the 11th, we've got Blink, your favorite, Sundial, and Lordstown. And then on the 12th, we've got AstraZeneca.
Oh, AstraZeneca. And we just had big Pfizer announcements with their COVID pills. So.
Also Moderna, too. Moderna had been falling after their... Yeah, keep an eye on these biotechs. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Time for some crypto talk.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. I know you need. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT.
Where's my notebook? I actually took fucking notes on one of these news stories.
Oh, really?
Of course.
Ooh, must have been a good one.
I did. Must have been a good one, but I don't...
You can't find your notes, can you?
Okay. You don't know me.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Oh, I found it. Right. I found it. Right. It slipped off my desk into the trash can. Okay. Oh, I think that's what happened to my jury duty paperwork. All right, so you know, crypto, it's hit a point where it's a $2.5 trillion market.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the size of the economy of France, to put that in perspective. That's not a small amount of money.
No.
So the fight continues. We've talked about this before. They're still fighting, like, who even gets to regulate this thing, right?
Right.
Right now, it's like a kind of a sparring match between the SEC and the CFTC, which is the Commodities Futures Trading Commission.
Right.
Which, I don't know. I don't know if I agree that the Commodities Futures Trading Commission aligns with crypto more than the securities. I feel like it's way more of a security.
It wants to be a currency, though. The currency's in the name. Whoever controls currency should get to control it, I think.
The Federal Reserve?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
They do such a fine job.
Yeah, I guess. All right, maybe not.
Well, Gary Gensler, I didn't know this. He taught, and forgive me if you actually said this on the show, and it's just wiped from my brain by sleeping. Gary Gensler, who heads the SEC, he taught an MIT course called Blockchain and Money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's probably knows more than I do.
Yes.
I think things about the blockchain and crypto. He said recently in August, not enough investor protection in crypto. It's like the Wild West. We need Congress to define this, right? Define these products and platforms.
Mm-hmm.
We got on the other side, we got the CFTC acting chairman, Rosten Benham. He's still trying to get confirmed, but he's the CFTC guy that's fighting the SEC. He admitted in his confirmation hearing that they want a bigger role in this regulation, even though it would be a, quote, departure from CFTC's historical role as a derivatives regulator. Also asking Congress, hey, can you guys define crypto so we can start fucking regulating it? Like, so that's where we're at. Where we're at now is they're going to define it to regulate it. Like, we can expect these regulations to come. So I guess there's still going to be some more Wild West going on till we get there. But there's several other people in the mix. We got Janet Yellen at the Treasury Department. She's the one who released that stablecoin report.
Mm-hmm.
She's also asking Congress to determine who the hell has the authorities, because without it, if they don't, Janet Yellen chairs the Financial Stability Oversight Council, which, if they want to, can step in and start regulating right now.
Right.
Like, they already have the power, but it sounds like she doesn't want them to have the power.
Well, didn't she? I mean, wasn't she the one behind the regulations on the stablecoin?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And it feels like that she doesn't want these regulations to be coming from, what's it called? The Financial Stability Oversight Council.
Right.
But, like, her time in the, not only the Treasury Department, like, she used to chair the Fed,
mm-hmm.
Janet Yellen. Like she's fucking, she's in the middle of it. She knows what's happening. Like, she doesn't feel like it's that place's clue to me. That's my interpretation. Anyway, a whole bunch of senators from Elizabeth Warren, a crypto skeptic, concerned about the lack of regulation. She's trying to get it. But we've got a couple, Senator Cynthia Lummis and Senator, what's his name, Toomey.
Yep.
They both own a bunch of crypto. Like, her, Senator Lummis's staff calls her a hodler.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess she's openly admitted she bought Bitcoin in 2013 at $330 a Bitcoin.
Well done.
Right? Can you guess which senators are saying we shouldn't regulate crypto too much?
Well, what is the goal of the regulation? How are they planning to protect investors? That's the question.
None of that is talked about in these very long news articles I was reading.
No, none of them say what they actually want the Congress to do. How are they planning to regulate it? I don't know. I want to know that before I try to pick a side.
Right. Do they regulate it as a currency? Because if it's a currency, what are the fucking regulations? It's pretty much, you can just switch, right?
I don't know.
If that's George.
I don't know.
Is there like a limit? Like, oh, you can only move $10 million to to euros.
I don't think there's any limits like that. No, I think I don't know what what do they do for stocks? They make them have to conform to reporting standards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's a cryptocurrency going to report? They have to report how much they're printing.
They're always reporting on the blockchain. Like, it's kind of designed to be open source transparency. But even so, with all that, I think the concern that a lot of people come from is
the pump and dumps,
how easy it is to use in black market transactions.
Yeah, money's pretty fucking easy to use too, though.
That's true. We did have, like, HSBC. They got a fine because they got caught being the banker for cartels in Mexico.
I mean, money's money.
Yeah, okay, well,
crypto's easier to track than money, isn't it?
well you know, it's just an anonymous wallet number.
Yeah, but you know exactly what that wallet's purchasing, when, where. Like, are all the transactions logged?
That's true.
That's the whole purpose of the blockchain, is to log all these transactions.
Here's the thing. If I have six wallets, and you could probably do it with just two. Like, I have my wallet for doing transactions with you, and I can be having an assumed name and identity, and then I have the wallet I move over, and that's the one linked to me.
How does that hurt investors?
I don't know.
Right? If somebody uses $1 billion of, you know, Australian dollar to hire, you know, somebody to go trash a rainforest, that doesn't crash the value of the Australian dollar.
It's true, but crypto's not attached to a country.
No, it's not.
This is probably exactly what they're talking about behind closed doors, is like, what the fuck do we do with this?
Yeah. Well, the question, we really want to know what the motive is. What's their motive behind wanting to get involved in it? And I guarantee you, I don't think it's investor protection.
Well, on some level, it has to be, because it would hurt America if Americans just had a huge chunk of their wealth disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you want to be as cynical as possible, it hurts big business in America, because consumers have less money to give big business.
Right.
So on some level, they have to want to avoid the volatility and the chance of a fucking crash, right?
I mean, I guess.
But how do you avoid that the volatility and that crash? Like,
let the Fed buy it, pump money into it.
Let the Fed buy it. Because maybe not as bad with the big ones like Bitcoin and Ethereum, but we've seen a lot of pump and dump on coins. Like we talk about the Squid Game coin.
Yeah, the pump and dump is what really, if anything, should be focusing on. But I'm pretty sure that's illegal now too. Anyway.
Yeah. People are getting in trouble for it.
Yeah. So
on Squid Game coin.
So you know. Again, what are they trying to protect is the question I keep coming back to. Man, we should try and get a senator on.
Yeah. Well, I guess Elizabeth Warren did mention that hackers have been able to steal money from crypto exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
So she's interested in regulation that...
That makes that illegal?
That would help.
I'm pretty sure that's still illegal.
No, it would be regulating the exchange to be set up to as best okay. it can to prevent that.
Okay, I can get behind that.
But you know, I'm also what happens when a bill gets made and then when it gets passed, like it's always something different. So we'll see.
Yeah.
See if I don't think Congress should be the one. I think they should just define it and then let the SEC fucking take care of it from there. Anyway, that's my big crypto story.
All right, I think I heard a clicky pen down.
Oh, no, that was a lighter.
Oh, okay.
I was lighting a candle.
Is it time to move on to draw?
Draw, motherfucker. So close.
Pew, pew.
Close. Good for the week.
Yeah, I had a hard time finding a good. I think my good was stopping and realizing that I was dealing with some issues that needed to get addressed. So I went back and started rewatching some of the Trade Pro lessons. I developed my own personal morning affirmation because I do like the concept of that, repeating a mantra in the morning that puts you in the right frame to start trading, but I didn't mm-hmm. like the one that, the generic one that George gave us, because it didn't feel like it was mine, so I made one for myself.
Yes.
So, yeah, stop in trading and then trying to take steps to get back to the right mindset, saving my account from further damage, I think was my good.
I had a day on micros where I finished the day at a profit,
mm-hmm.
and it was the only day this week where I sat down and was able to get into my best mindset, you know, because we're all so fluid, like you're not the same exact person every moment,
right? Right?
We've all seen somebody in a bad mood where they don't want to talk when they're normally a talkative person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we all go through those stages. So I've been trying to use the psychology, and that day it really seemed to work for me, where I got in that mindset of I'm going to be my best self in this moment when I sit down to make these trades. I'm going to follow the process and the plan. I'm going to read what's happening. I'm going to get my confirmations. I'm going to do it in my zones. And it all came together, and I was profitable, and that's definitely my good for the week.
Nice.
Wholeheartedly.
My bad obviously ties into my good, which was dealing with that lack of confidence.
Yeah.
And just, I kind of talked a little bit to George about it when we were eating the hot wings, but just like the roller coaster of emotions that sometimes you go through from like day to day to week, even, you know, hour to hour. So I'm still trying to figure out a way to deal with that, but... I think I at least got a plan, put something together. I didn't take any trades Friday because I was trying to get back to the basics, and I didn't see anything that fit with what my morning plan was. Whereas normally I'd be trying to force something, and I think that's how I was getting, away from myself.
Getting rolled over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your bad?
My bad was, I want to say, the day trading when the news had come out, and since I was on the micros, I had 3 losses in a row, and I was like, it's the micros, I can have one more.
Mm.
No.
That's
bad.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I've had the same scenario, whereas, like, you know, three trade losses in a row, but it's much less size than what I'm used to putting on. So, you know, does that count?
Right? It was easy for me to say, like, Dan, what's the worst you lose in $8? Come on.
See, I've treated that as, like, I still have a hard cap. If I'm trading the micros, I have a set amount that I'm allowed to lose.
I personally, I need to stick to the three losses in a row and I walk away. Like, I need to shut it off.
I think you're right, too, because I don't think that having the set limit, because it seems like if I have a set limit I'm allowed to lose, I'm going to hit that.
Right. When I sit down away from it, the plan is three losses in a row, you walk away, and then you pat yourself on the back because you followed your risk management strategy. Mm-hmm. And if I get in my head and I'm like, it's just losing another $8. Well, guess what? I'm only thinking about that one trade and I'm not thinking about my overall strategy.
Right.
And I can tell myself that again and again and again. Next thing I know, I've lost six trades in a row.
Right.
Like, yep. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Dan, so that's my bad. I was a bad risk manager. Yep.
That's how you spiral.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my ugly is just how far from my initially successful strategies I've drifted. Not filling out the trading tickets like I'm supposed to, not watching for the pullbacks and the levels and getting the confirmations, like just trying to go willy-nilly mm-hmm. trading rotations. I found myself going back and looking. I'm like, okay, I put on this trade, but I didn't have any of my qualifiers. Like, I didn't, what was I thinking? Why was I was just seeing a level and thinking, I know what it's going to do.
Acting like you've been doing this 20 years.
Right, and we haven't. You know, we've been doing this for a month.
I actually, Kyle, and I'm glad that you said that out loud because it made me realize I'm doing the same thing to myself. Starting to get away from logging every trade
mm-hmm.
on my book because I'm watching it and I feel like I know what I'm doing. So I'm acting like I've fucking been trading 20 years. That's where that thought came from, was like, Dan, you haven't been trading 20 years.
No, no, we have not.
You can't do this. You got to fucking stick to the process.
Yep.
My ugly, I think we were talking about it on one of our calls on the Discord channel. Like, I withdrew everything from my Ameritrade account mm-hmm. that I was using to trade options, and I left like $100 in there. And I worked it up to the mid 200s, right? I'm like, wow, nice. Okay, this is fucking fun. When I had that good day on the futures, like, I didn't want to stop. So this wasn't disastrous, but you can go back and look at the Kyle and Dan Trades channel. You can see that I just started over trading.
Mm-hmm.
Small positions. Like, I bought some Disney puts and got crushed on a gap up.
Yeah, you did.
And I bought some BlackBerry calls because it was like, I can call the bottom of BlackBerry. And I got punished on that move too.
Yep.
I mean, I still made some great options moves in the week, but
just got too confident.
No matter how much money I even if I'd made or lost, I realized after I placed those trades, Dan, you know, like Richard Friesen, take your emotional set score. Like, mm-hmm. you're not doing this because you're like, this is a great play. You're doing this because you're like, I'm on a roll.
Yeah, I want to keep going. Yeah, I'm not done. I don't want to be done yet. Yeah.
I want more of this fucking dopamine. I don't want to be done. I'm having a good time.
Yep.
Right? And it's like, nope, that's not how you make money, motherfucker. You know that. So that's my ugly.
All right. Well, should we wrap this thing up with a bet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stocks, mama, in the center of the universe. That's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread is the mighty bet.
You have any idea what you're going to do?
I go first because I'm the biggest loser, right?
That's right.
Yep, I'm going to long Tesla.
All right. All right, why not?
Works for everybody else.
Yeah. It's had two down days in a row, but volume's like way down.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's running like a it did this before the split, right? Mm-hmm. Like we've seen this before.
Stop loss?
Oh, it's Tesla, so I'll put my stop loss at 11.25.
I keep going back and forth. I want a short Fortiv, but I also realize that I need to let the rest of that pattern play out. I need to make sure it actually is going to be an evening star, because it could just take off again tomorrow or on Monday.
Like it did the last evening star?
Yes, exactly. When it didn't actually finish doing an evening star, because you need the candle afterwards mm-hmm. to actually make it, right?
It's a three candle pattern.
Yes. So not going to do that. I think I am just going to go long Visa.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
I'm going to go long Visa, and I'm going to have a price target at 225. I'll take half, and then I'll sell the rest at 230. And stop loss, I'm going to give this room. So we're going to say 206.
Okay.
All right. We also need a random. Give me a number 1 through 12.
11.
All right. NASDAQ Capital Goods. This should be interesting. Green Power Motor Company. GP.
All right. It is ranging pretty hard.
It's on the top of that range. Nice bear trend. Good. Random's back. Fucking lose random.
All right. All right, folks. I'm long Tesla. Kyle's long Visa. And random is long GP.
Green Power
Energy. Stay tuned. We got that Alan Sama episode coming out soon. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for that. And
if you like the show, please leave us a comment. Or rate us on your platform of choice. Anything to help us get the word out.
Spread the word. Spread the love.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Spread the wealth. Thank you so much for listening. We love you so much. Happy trades.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.